Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we ask your grace and mercy upon us as we share in your the goodness of your word and share in this message this morning prepared out of Luke 5. Lord, we come to you as a family of faith. Most of the time we find ourselves in all of you. Lord, be with us this morning as we worship and celebrate you again in all. Lord, you are magnificent in glory. You come to us in many ways through your word and through your message, through your music, through our fellowship together, and today is no different. As we travel this afternoon to visit what we know to be the Creation Museum and then the Ark Encounter, where we discover biblical truth on how we arrived and what elements you used and the people you used to save us from the great flood. Lord, we come to you in this message this morning entitled Obedience, asking for your hedge of protection over our lives. Lord, be with us as we share in your word this morning, share in this message, and share in each other's company. We ask all this in our living Savior's name, Christ Jesus. Amen. This morning's scripture comes out of Luke 5. We're going to read 1 through 11. It's a familiar passage to you, but one I thought very important given the message that you so graciously was given last week in my absence by Brian. And so I'm in the New Living Translation, and again, I'll begin at in 5 and go all the way to 11. So if you're following along, please do so. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from where he was. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out there where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boats, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and he said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners James and John, the son of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Stacy began his message to you, or short message to you this morning before he sang, he talked about remembering. And in these times to come, as we've celebrated Easter, we do remember Christ and his sacrifices and the things that he shares with us daily. One of the things that I think we need to always remember is his words to Peter. Don't be afraid. Regardless of what life brings you and what criticism you may have on yourself or things around you, don't be afraid. For Christ is in charge. It is his will and his way. Again, good morning and welcome back to worship. Last week you guys experienced a powerhouse sermon that came directly from the heart of an obedient follower of Christ Jesus. How do I know this? Well, it's because I have the good and distinct pleasure of knowing the man both inside and out, and known him all my life. Don't really remember my life without him being a part of it. If I'm not mistaken, one of the many points of my friend Brian's message last week before you was that every day of your life, every single moment in your life, you have God's Word. It is served to you with immense love, and it comes to each of us without hurdle or obstacle, and it's given to us on a platter of abundance. And I think he went on to say, in addition, the Word comes with two wonderful addendums to it. Not only do you get the Word, but you get the grace and the mercy that comes in the Word, none of which any of us can fully consume. We can't give it away to exhaust it. We can't consume it to exhaust it. It is abundant. It is abundant. I think Brian went to share with you that he says that God gives you everything He has each and every day of your life. He gives you all He has. My question this morning, on the heels of Brian's message in this obedience message, is, do you return the favor? Many of you are sitting here in worship this morning trying to return that favor. A lot of empty seats in here. So I would tell you that, unfortunately, although I know you personally, know all of you, some way, shape, or form, most of you do your very best to return the favor, and so do I. But as you can see, as a human race, we have a lot of shortcomings, don't we? A lot of empty pews here this morning. So the answer to that question is no, we don't. Today we all live in a world that requires professional tenants. And what do I mean by professional tenants? Well, that's a person who has lived long enough to kind of master their surroundings and survive in the atmosphere that's around them, both in their professional setting and in their personal lives. You know, today we will travel some 6-7 hours away and meet faces that we've never met and some perhaps run into folks that we may know. I don't know. But as we get older, we kind of become homebodies. We like the way things are. We don't travel out beyond our inner circles because we've kind of mastered the life we live in. When I was studying for this message, I found this passage in Luke very, very interesting, especially to this point of professional tenets in our life. We're living where we live today and doing what we like to do in our own way. The reason I found this interesting was that I can only imagine what the disciples thought that day at the Sea of Galilee on the seashore when Jesus entered their lives. You see, these guys were professional fishermen and they had mastered their trade and they had spent all night and the weeks previous in their profession on that sea. And you know what was interesting? As good as they were, they had zero success. They were professionals. They were masters of their trade. They were critical of themselves. If you read even deeper into Scripture about Simon Peter's conversations with his wife, he was a frustrated man because he could not succeed the way he wanted to. He was not making the money that he wanted to make. He was not excelling in life the way he wanted to excel. As good as these men were, they were coming up empty-handed. Has that ever happened to you? As good as you guys are, and I know you're good. I'm looking out at you right now. I know all of you. You're exceptional. You're masters of your trade. You're masters of your surroundings. You're great people. But as good as you are, you and I both come up short. It happens to us a lot, actually. Friends, these men on the Sea of Galilee are just like me and you. Here we are in the sea of life, perhaps together in this life that we call home and work and pleasure. And we too are trying to be successful, but we step out problematically on our own. We come up empty-handed all the time. However, much like in the lives of the disciples, here comes this strange fella named Jesus. An interesting chap, perhaps, to most at the time. This guy calls out to us and says, "What are y'all doing? Where are you going? Don't fish over there. Fish right here. Right here. Fish right here." And in our infinite wisdom, friends, we are like the disciples. We often say, "You want us to throw our nets over here? Jesus, really? Why would we fish over there? We've fished there 1,000 times. We've yielded nothing. We've come up with nothing. Look at our boats. They're empty. We fished this entire place, and you want us to fish right here. Really?" And he says, "Yes, really." You see, in the story this morning, the disciples listened. Simon Peter listened. And when he was obedient to God's request, when he was obedient to his Lord and Savior, he was abundantly blessed. And not only was he full of blessing, so were all of his friends and family around him. Jesus had filled them to an overflowing point with fish on those boats. He filled those boats to a point where the buoyancy was impacted. The boats were sinking. There were so many fish. And where did he tell them to fish? Right where they had fished before with no yield. Right here. The difference was, the common denominator was, Christ's presence in their life and their obedience to listen to him. That's the difference. They couldn't do it on their own, but in Christ, they sunk the ships. Just like our friend Brian. While Penny puts the children to bed in his story last week, he is frantically all over the kitchen to find a place to put those lima beans. Trash can, cabinets, drawers, feed it to the dog. He didn't care, but he didn't want to eat them. He wanted to do anything but consume those lima beans. And you see, but Penny had prepared them with love. She had given him all that she had. He told you the story. She had given him all that she had. All he had to do was simply consume them. Yet he struggled to do that. He struggled to find the obedience in himself to eat the limas. He could suck down the butter noodles, but the limas were a big no. But when he did, friends, when he became obedient to realize, "I'm eating these limas, I don't have any choice," what happens to him? He comes into this relationship, a single parent with a young boy, and he today relishes in love. He relishes in family. He relishes in friendship. His cup overflows. His boats literally are sinking. He came in with an empty boat. And out of love and grace and compassion, he was served a meal that he did not want to eat. But in eating it, in obedience, look what he has. Grace, mercy, love, hope, family, nourishment. And the list goes on and on. Ryan's story last week, and this story about Jesus and the fishermen is a lesson that we all should heed. It's a lesson that we should turn to Jesus and ask Him for His input and His wisdom in our life. Don't take it for your own knowledge. Ask God first. In this passage, we see where Peter offered Jesus his empty boat. He said, Jesus, or Master, you take the boat and preach from it. A floating pulpit, if you will. This very moment in biblical history teaches us that even when we do not have the abundance of anything, God wants us to offer to Him every ounce and morsel of what we do have in His service. And when we do, we are abundantly blessed. If you take nothing from this story, if you take nothing from this sermon today, take your empty vessel. Invest it in Jesus Christ. Be obedient to Him and love Him as He has loved you, and you will sink your own ship for good. Your nets will overflow. They will rip from abundance. You will not be able to consume the goodness and the glory and the grace. Too many people we know, even ourselves. You know, Stacy says just a few short minutes ago, "Hey, I'm my biggest critic." So am I. If you think this is the only time this sermon is given, you're wrong. There's a lot of mirror, a lot of kitchen time, a lot of outdoor porch time before I speak to you, because I try to find the wrong in the message. So I feel His pain. A brother in Christ, I feel His pain when you stand before people and you try to convey your spirit, your love, and try to ignite their spirit and their love. Friends, Peter gave God an empty boat, and it came back overflowing. He's not asking you for the $1 million you want to make or the dollar that you have in your bank account. He's not asking you for your home. He's not asking you for your car. He's not asking you for anything. What He is simply saying is, what you have right this very minute is all I need from you. Your heart. Whatever exists in your life, give it to me. Give it to me in its minuscule size, and I will make it glorious. You do that in the service to me. People come to the Lord shattered, broken, hurting, lonely, discouraged. They get this way because they don't see God first. They try to fix it on their own. Well, Stacy told us about it in this song. It's called entitled Remember. Remember who loved you first. Remember who you seek first in your wisdom and guidance. And I tell you, friends, there won't be any shattered, brokenness, lonely, discouraged, anything. Yes, you'll have a little anxiety like me and Stacy some, but God wins every moment. Every day He wins. Doesn't matter what your life beholds. Things that, you know, your children will call you on the phone and say, "Hey, Mom or Dad, I got to have you today. I've made a mistake." They'll crack your world open in 2 seconds. And yet when you turn around and give it right back to God, He'll fill it with glory and goodness. Every single time. You name anything in your life that you put God first, He wins. He wins. Make no mistake, though. The devil knows when we have withheld our obedience to God. He takes that as a crack in our armor. Like a well-trained warrior, he moves in for the attack. But often his approach is not a full frontal assault. He don't want us to see him coming. He's a sneaky old fellow. He's going to come in the back door. And before you know it, he's going to have you down. Why? You were simply not obedient to God first. This mistake happens to many of us. We make it because we assume that we can ignore God's commandment in our life. We can ignore His presence in our life. You know, I told you earlier about the answer is, are you giving it all you have? Are you giving Him full measure back in His devotion to you? Are you giving your full devotion to Him? I told you the answer was no. It's evident here this morning. You're here, but others are not. Where are they? How are they serving Christ? How are they worshiping God absent from church? You know, obedience is a choice. I doubt that many of you would consider some of the minor decisions that you make in your life, you wouldn't consider them impactful in your distant future, would you? Until I prepared for this sermon, I didn't think that minuscule decisions that I made in my daily life would lay out a future something in my life. I was wrong. I was wrong in that thinking. We make choices every day based on what we believe to be right or wrong. That's inside of us. And I can tell you right now, if you're depending on your own counsel, you're in trouble. But if you depend on the counsel and guidance within the Word of God, and you put Him first, and then you make that decision, you win. You win each and every time. You see, friends, obedience is not a gift. It's not like salvation, love, and grace. Obedience is eating the lima bean when you don't want to eat it. Obedience is coming to church when it's a prettier day and it looks just as good to go fishing than it did to come and sit in the pews. That's obedience. Obedience is taking God for everything that He has given you and returning it with everything you have to give to Him. In this story this morning, the disciples, not knowing Christ the way you knew Him, gave Him an empty boat. And in so, they received abundant blessing. Thus, if that's true, and we know it to be true, that Simon Peter gave the boat to Christ, and he only knew Him just this much, look what happened to him. It changed his life. Now, here we are, if we compare ourselves over here, here's Simon Peter knowing Christ this much. Y'all know Him this much. What's your excuse? Obedience equals blessing. End of subject. Obedience equals abundance of blessing. In other words, in Brian's message last week, eat the lima bean and receive the love and goodness that comes from that obedience. In Scripture today, Peter was faced with a life-changing decision. The outcome of this choice would determine his future. We know what happened. He was obedient to God. The boat left. He told them to fish right here. They dropped their nets exactly where Christ told them, and the nets were full. My question to you is this morning, what would happen if Peter said, nope, you ain't taking my boat. I'm done. I've fished for weeks. I've fished all night long. I'm mending my nets and I'm going home. What would have happened? The lack of obedience would have caused Peter to be frustrated and broken. He would have been in the very same place he was the moment before Christ entered his life. Don't make the same mistake. You see, you know Christ more than Peter did. At the moment in time when Peter met Jesus, you know Christ more today than Peter knew Him then. Don't make that same mistake, friends. I have said many times in my life, more than I care to count, I just don't know whether God wants me to do this. It doesn't make sense. I don't know what He wants me to do. friend of mine and I had a conversation while putting down some mulch just a week or so ago, talking about the future. We discussed about praying about our future and talking about different things and being men of faith. We're putting God first in our life, or trying to anyway. Our obedience to Him is evident in our lives, or we try to make it evident in our lives. About a week later, my friend got some news that he didn't like too much. Wasn't good news for him. I pushed him pretty hard. Not that I'm apologizing this morning for it out of love, but I did push him too hard. But I told him in that message, or I told him in that conversation, you be careful what you pray for. God's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to him in his time, not yours. You know, serving God is a life-changing event. It's a life-changing alteration of who we think we are versus who He wants us to be. No greater thing in life to serve than to serve Jesus Christ. The truth is, Christ-like life takes both obedience and faith. And as much as, and as good as we are, and as much as we want to be in charge, we're not. Because in true faith, we must have obedience. If both doesn't exist in our walk of faith, if both doesn't exist as a Christian, faith and obedience, if both of those things don't come together, we're going to fail. Our life will be outlined in defeat and failure, disappointment, suffering, wrong decision after another, and so forth and so on. You must believe in the one whom God has sent to you. We just celebrated Easter. God brought Jesus to the cross so that you and I could win. All it takes is our simple obedience, our acceptance and obedience to Him. Friends, this morning in Scripture, the outcome of Peter's faith was a new line of work. You see, all he really wanted, and that's why he fell to his knees and said, Jesus, depart from me before I am a sinner. I'm not good enough. He was awestruck by what he had witnessed and the blessings of God, and he knew he wasn't a man to hold up to it. And God told him what? Stand up, friend. Don't be afraid. Serve me, and I'll bless you abundantly. In Peter's faith, he thought he was going to be a fisherman. He thought, after that catch, I'm going to be a wealthy fisherman. And what did God say? You ain't going to fish another day in your life for a fish in the sea. You're going to fish every day of your life for the fish on the land. You're going to fish and be a fisherman of men. Life-altering change. Jesus said to him, do not fear. From now on, you will catch men for me. What an awesome way, guys, to live the rest of your life in the shadow of that constant care we know as Jesus Christ. What an awesome way to live. Do you realize in the shadow nothing can harm you? In the presence of God, nothing, even death, cannot kill you, not harm you one way or the other. In the light of His truth and eternal glory, you are a winner. And all you have to do is simply be obedient. God doesn't require you to bring a boat full of fish. God just needs you to show up and allow Him to take your boat. And He'll fill it. He'll make it overflow in grace and goodness. Simply because you said, yes, I will follow you. Amen.